Welcome to Torti Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Melechem Alf Perek Gimel, Melechem 1, Chapter 3. In this chapter, we see Shlomo at his height. He's finished having revenge on the enemies that David told him to accomplish, and he's ready to start his kingdom. There's going to be 10 chapters about Shlomo, one of the longest sections of Sefer Melechim. Before we start talking about what happens in this chapter, it would be helpful to think about what the purpose of Sefer Melechim in general. And in order to understand that, the thing that we need to look at is who's the author? When is it written? And the Gemara tells us that the author of Sefer Melechim is Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Yirmiyahu who witnessed the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And once we understand that it was Yirmiyahu who wrote about the kings that were many, many years before him, we can understand that Yirmiyahu's purpose in writing the Sefer was actually similar to his purpose in writing Eicha, the Megillah that he writes about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu sees tragedy in front of him and wants to understand, how did this happen? How could it be that we, B'nai Israel, we the people of Yehuda, ended up with a destroyed Beit HaMikdash and going into Galut? So he reaches backwards into the history of the Jewish people, all the way to the beginning of the time of the kings. And he tries to put together, where did we go wrong? What were our mistakes? And this Perek, Perek Gimel, chapter 3, represents the height of where B'nai Israel were, the place where they fell from. And in order to really understand Sefer Melechim, we have to understand piece by piece what mistakes were made. How did we get from here in Perek Gimel, where it says in Pasuk Gimel, Vayahav Shlomo et Hashem lalechet b'chukot David Aviv. Shlomo the king, Solomon the king, loved Hashem, and he walked in the statutes of his father David. How did we get from there to Shlomo, who's going to build the Beit HaMikdash, and it's going to be at the height of its glory, to the Chorban? First, actually, to the split of the two kingdoms, which we'll talk about later, and then to the Chorban. But first, we have to start in the beginning of this Perek. And this is going to be a wonderful Perek in the life of Shlomo. But the first two psukim actually seem like critiques of Shlomo. The first one, the pasuk starts off, Vayitchaten Shlomo im Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Shlomo married into the family of Paro, and Shlomo married Paro's daughter. Now, the Mefarshim point out that psukim don't criticize Shlomo for marrying Bat Paro, so perhaps she converted, and perhaps it was done in a proper way. However, this is foreshadowing what's going to become really a struggle in Shlomo's life, the issue of his connection with other countries and the women in his life. But for now, he just married Bat Paro, the daughter of Paro. The second pasuk tells us, Raka'am mizbachim babamot, ki lo nivne bayit lashem ad hayamim hahen, that the nation was still bringing korbanot, they were still bringing their sacrifices on altars, on separate altars around the country, because there wasn't a central Beit HaMikdash in those days. And Rashi sees this also as a critique of Shlomo here, that he didn't, the first thing he did was not build the Beit HaMikdash. His father David was so desperate to build the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem said, no, your child will do it. But then Shlomo waits 4 years, says Rashi, to build the Beit HaMikdash. And then with those two psukim, those slight, perhaps, critiques of Shlomo, or perhaps these foreshadowing of issues that are going to come up, we have the height, perhaps, of Shlomo's kingdom. And remember, he's just a young boy. His father, David, just died. He just, in the last parak, dealt with a lot of very, very important and influential people. He had to really navigate a very complicated political situation, and he had to act as a much older person than he actually was. And now, Shlomo decides that he's going to go to Giv'on, where there's a very large bama, there's a very large altar to bring korbanot, and he was going to bring korbanot to Hashem. And there, in Giv'on, Shlomo has a nevuah. And in this nevuah, that he falls into a dream, and he encounters Hashem. And Hashem says to him, Sha'al, ma etem lecha? Shlomo, what do you want? I'll give you anything. And it always conjures up in my mind this, you know, this amazing opportunity. You can have anything. And Shlomo responds to Hashem, And he says, Hashem, you've done so much for me. Just the fact that I'm here, sitting on this throne, I am the first child to take over for his father. I am the first legacy. And that's something that a king desperately wants, for a child to take over after him. And here I am. I'm here. My father had a legacy. And he says, but Hashem, Anochi Nar Katon, Lo Idat Seivavo, I'm such a child. I don't even know what I'm doing. And I have such a large job. I have to help these people. I have to guide them. I have to lead them. I have to judge them. So I ask you, Hashem, in Pasuk Tet, verse 9, V'nasata la'avdecha lev shomea, lishbot et amcha, lahavin bein tov l'ra. What I desperately want is a lev shomea, a heart that listens, an understanding heart that will help me judge the people, and lahavin bein tov l'ra, that will help me distinguish between good and bad. Because this idea of judging this large nation with so many different issues is so overwhelming to me. Hashem is very pleased with what Shlomo asked him. Hashem is very good in Hashem's eyes that Shlomo asked for this. And Hashem says, you could have asked for anything. A normal person, perhaps, would have asked for riches. A normal person would have asked for honor. Perhaps a normal person would have asked for a long life. You know, whatever people generally ask for genies. You know, they want lots of money. They want power. And you, Shlomo, obviously, of course, they ask for more wishes, which generally does not work. But you, Shlomo, you asked for a lev havin shomea mishpat. You asked for an understanding heart. How wonderful that that is what your priority is. And Hashem says, I'm going to do what you asked in verse 12. Hine asiti kidvarecha. I am going to do what you say. Hine natati lecha lev chacham v'navon. I'm going to give you a brilliant and understanding heart. Shekamocha lo haya lefanecha. V'acharecha lo yakum kamocha. No one will ever be like you, not before you and not after you. And then Hashem says in verse 13, what you didn't ask for, the things you could have asked for, I'm also going to give you. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you honor, better than any other king before you. And if you continue to go in my ways, I'll also give you long life. Shlomo wakes up, and he's so ecstatic, and he goes to Yerushalayim, and he stands before the Aron, and he brings Korbanot and makes a big party. And that's the end of this section. And it's a fascinating session. I'd like to parse it apart a little bit. What's really interesting in this section is that Hashem is so proud of what Shlomo asked for, but Hashem doesn't actually give Shlomo what he asks for. Shlomo asks for a lev shomea mishpat lahavin bein tov l'ra, a heart that can understand judgment and understand between good and bad. Hashem responds and gives him a lev chacham v'navon, a smart and understanding heart, and completely left out is this understanding between good and bad. And what's interesting is perhaps the reason Hashem doesn't give Shlomo what he asks for is because you can't give somebody what Shlomo was asking for. Shlomo wanted to understand what it means to be moral, to always make the correct and moral choice, to know the difference between good and bad. Hashem is very happy that this is what Shlomo's priority is. But to give somebody this would really be taking away their free choice. So instead, Hashem responds and gives Shlomo all of the physical things that he can give him to be a good judge. He gives him wealth. He gives him, and therefore a person who has wealth can't be bribed. He gives him honor. A person with honor is respected by the litigants. And he gives him wisdom. And that's smarts. That it definitely does help to be smart. But what's fascinating is if you look in Sefer Kohelet, these are the things that actually Shlomo struggles with, because none of these are good in a vacuum. All of these are good when they have the right priorities, when they're used for good. But what's wonderful is here that Shlomo wants to use them for good. And in the last section, we see that he really is able to put them to good use. And the last section of the Perek, we have a very famous story. The story of the splitting of the baby. Now, the story is so famous, and it happens to be, if you Google splitting of the baby, the the translation is, you know, people Google, what does it mean to split the baby? And the translation is, you know, to enter into a negotiation where both sides kind of lose out. And this phrase has become something, a spread to the world of business, to law, to policy. And it's really because this story about Shlomo is so arresting and so exciting. So in this story, we have these two prostitutes, these two zonot, who come to Shlomo for judgment. And one of them comes and says, listen, we were both sleeping in the same room, and we each had a baby with us. And there was no one else but the two of us in the house. And this woman's baby died. She actually, it says, shachva alav. She rolled over and she suffocated the baby. And you know what she did? She got up in the middle of the night, took my live baby, switched the babies, and she pretended that it was her baby. And then I got up in the morning and I had a dead child, but I know that that's not my child. It's her child. And the other woman says, no, that's actually not true. It was her child who died. Shlomo, and I have my live baby. It's my baby. And Shlomo turns to them and he says, okay. In Pasuk Bet, verse 22, Zod omeret, Zebni hachai ubnei chameit, v'zod omeret loki. You say, one says, my child is alive and your child is the one that died. And the other one says, no, your child is the one who died and my child is the one who is alive. And then there's a pause in the pasuk. There's a, before the next pasuk, there's something called a sof perek, which is quite a long pause. And you can imagine that there's a lot of tension in the room. And Shlomo says, Vayomer hamelech, kechuli charev, get me a sword. And they bring him the sword. And could just imagine, everyone's thinking, what in the world is Shlomo doing? Vayomer HaMelech in Pasuk Kaf Hei, verse 25, Gizru et hayeled hachai lishnayim. Cut the live child in half. Utenu et hachatzi la'achat, et hachatzi la'achat. Give one half to this woman and give the other half to that woman. And we all know the end of the story. The woman whose actual baby it was says, no, no, no. Don't cut that baby. Just give it to her and leave the baby alive. And the other one says, you know what? That's fine. Cut the baby and give each of us half. Basically saying, if I can't have my baby, nobody. Then I would rather the baby be killed. And Shlomo says, ah, here's the mother. Tenula tayilod hachai hamet lo timitu hi imo. Give her the live baby. Don't kill the baby. She is the mother. And everyone of Bnei Israel is stunned. They see that Shlomo is amazing at judgment. And they see Vayiru Mipnei HaMelech, the last Pasuk, Pasuk 28. They're fearful of the king. Ki ra'u ki chachmat Elokim mikarbo lasot mishpat. They see he has this wisdom of God in him, that he's able to do justice in this way. And all the Mefarshim say they were scared of Shlomo because people actually thought that Shlomo could read their thoughts. How in the world could he know that? Now we have to take a step back. And first of all, what's fascinating is my teacher, Rabbi Yehuda Mali, pointed out that the people actually believed at the time that Shlomo would cut the baby. In the parak before, Shlomo killed everybody. So it wasn't preposterous to think that Shlomo is just a violent person. He was young, maybe he's impulsive, and maybe he actually would take that sword and slash the baby in half. Who knew? They actually believed him. And then when he didn't do it, the relief was so palpable in the room. Everyone said, ah, Shlomo, How wonderful is his judgment. But we need to take a step back and kind of wonder, why is this story in Tanakh to begin with? It's actually a very long story. It starts in Pasuk Tet Zayin and it goes on for 11 psukim. It's even longer than Shlomo's dream, which you would think is a much more important story where he encounters Hashem and he gets these gifts from Hashem. But I think this story is actually the key to understanding Shlomo, and it's actually the key to understanding Sefer Melachim in general. Because this story should have been the Tanakh. These are two women. Each of them is a zonah. Each of them is a prostitute. They come to Shlomo and they say, they each claim this one live baby. Another king could have looked at them and said, how dare you? How dare you waste my time? You're at the lowest rungs of society. You're both prostitutes. Who cares whose baby it is? Take the baby away from both of you and put it in foster care. Neither of you deserve to have this baby. Why would I waste my time listening to a case of two prostitutes? I'm going to just throw both of you in jail. That's what I'm going to do. And Shlomo doesn't do that. He takes them seriously. He listens to their case. Not only does he listen to their case, but he repeats their case to them. I heard you. I heard you say, this is my child, and the other one is, it's her child who died. I heard you say, no, it's my child, and it's her child who died. He looks at them, and in these two zoonot, he sees mothers. He sees mothers who actually love their babies, who actually can feel maternal. He sees them as human beings. And this becomes Shlomo's strength. His wisdom that Hashem granted him gives him the ability to not just look at people in their superficial way, and that is exactly what he asked for. A lev shomea mishpat, a heart that can hear, the cries of a mother, even though she's a prostitute. And this story unlocks Sefer Melachim because this tells us what it means to be an ideal king. This is a person who could connect the people to Hashem because he even listened to the judgments of the Zonah. Shlomo's glory doesn't come when he has the two most important people as litigants before him. It doesn't even come when he's able to navigate the very difficult politics of the last perek. It comes in a tiny little court case of two women who are at the bottom of society, and Shlomo's able to look at them and even understand their psychology so much so that he can use it to make his judgment. And therefore, says the Navi Yirmiyahu, this is what it means to love Hashem. And this is what it means to be able to connect the people to Hashem, because that's what happens in the last pasuk when Bnei Israel see this type of judgment. They're scared of Shlomo, but they see Hashem in him. They see what it means to love the lower rungs of society, the people at the lower rungs of society. They see what it means to value people just for being human. And with that, the people are able to connect to Shlomo, they're able to better themselves, and they're also able to connect to each other and therefore connect to Hashem, because the issue that Yirmiyahu is going to be dealing with at the Chorban is people who can't value other people. And Shlomo sets up a model of a court system that values the individual, that values each person, and allows them to bring their case to him. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.